Well, I was going to preach about the power of the Word of God, because how many of you know there's power in the Word of God? The Word of God changes people. And so that was going to be my message, but early this morning at about 5 o'clock or 4:30, I can't remember how early it was, I woke up and I felt the Lord put a different word on my heart, and I began to write, and it just began to flow that God wants to fill somebody in this place this morning with boldness. With boldness. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And so I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. Proverbs 28, 1. This is one of the first Christian t-shirts that I wore to my high school all the time as a senior higher. Starting with my freshman year, it had this scripture verse on it, Proverbs 28, 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Let's say that second part together. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you would consider yourself bold? Some of you. I think that's honest. I think that's a good assessment. How many of you just honestly would say, I don't feel very bold? For me, it depends upon the situation. Sometimes I feel really bold. Sometimes I feel very timid. I know you can't imagine me being timid. But it is the truth. I want to declare at the very beginning of this message the thing that I'm believing that you will realize by the time you leave today, that there is more strength in you than you think. There is more strength in you than you think. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. And I ask that you would begin now to work on the inside. That's what your word does. It cuts and it goes into the innermost places of our life. And it changes us so that we are never the same. And so, God, we just ask that you would have your way in Jesus' name in our hearts. Hugh Latimer was a preacher a long, long time ago. And once he preached before King Henry VIII, the king was greatly displeased by the boldness in the sermon. And as kings often did in those times, he approached Hugh Latimer and commanded him the next Sunday to apologize for the offense that he had caused. And so the next Sunday, after reading his text, he thus began his sermon. Now, this is in King James English, as they talked like back then, and I'm going to try to read it that way. This is how he started his sermon, by addressing himself. Hugh Latimer, dost thou know before whom thou art this day to speak? To the high and mighty monarch, the King's most excellent majesty, who can take away thy life if thou offendest. Therefore, take heed that thou speakest not a word that may displease. But then consider well, Hugh, dost thou not know from whence thou comest, upon whose message thou art sent, even by the great and mighty God, who is all present, and who beholdeth all thy ways, and who is able to cast thy soul into hell. Therefore, take care that thou deliverest thy message faithfully. Hugh Latimer then preached the exact same sermon he had preached the preceding Sunday, and with considerably more energy. I would say that was bold. That's bold. Now, boldness is not arrogance, and it is not a lack of humility. Boldness is not the opposite, even, of one of the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness. Boldness is not the opposite of those things. You can be gentle and be very bold at the same time. Boldness is uncompromising. Boldness recognizes that my highest authority is God. Boldness recognizes that sometimes your authorities even will want you to do something that God Himself does not want you to do. For instance, if your boss asks you to lie, you have a decision in that moment. Am I going to appease my boss, who has authority over my check and my employment? Or am I going to appease the king of my soul and do the right thing? And in that moment, you will need, whether you're loud or not is not the issue. Whether you speak forcefully or not is not the issue. But the issue is that you obey God rather than men. Now, your heart attitude is submission towards those in authority over you. But your obedience and your boldness are before the Lord. I love it that Solomon said, righteous people are bold. Hallelujah. That means they're not swayed by the influence of other people. They're not just giving themselves to peer pressure. I feel the Lord speaking to somebody here this morning. You are under peer pressure, but God is coming to you and saying, do not give in to that peer pressure, but live boldly in Jesus' name. When Solomon declared that the righteous are bold, perhaps he was thinking of his own father, King David. Can you remember some moments when King David was bold? What's the first one that comes to mind when he was bold? When he faced Goliath. And I just, by the way, just watched the first show of the series David on Prime Video, and I'm looking forward to watching it, to be honest with you. I think it has been very well done. I can't speak for the whole series, but that first one was really good. But I remember in 1 Samuel 17 when David stood before the Philistine and said, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Hallelujah. When you face your enemies, when you face an enemy of your soul, it's a good time to be bold. Amen? James said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I think some good things are going to happen this morning. Because Isaiah 54 reveals to us that there are assignments that are against us. There are weapons that are against us. And we don't wrestle, we know from Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities and rulers of this dark world. Did you know that the enemy does not want you to come face to face with God and give your life to Jesus? He does not want that. He wants to tear you down. But Isaiah 54 says that all those weapons, none of them that are forged against you will prosper. All those who rise up against you shall fall. We can be bold in the face of the enemy. Is it because of us that we can be bold? No. You know, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so our boldness doesn't come from our own personalities. Don't confuse again. I mentioned arrogance and I mentioned humility and gentleness. But also don't confuse boldness with being extroverted. Because you might have an extroverted personality, but you might not be very bold. You might just be a crowd pleaser. You might just be a man pleaser. Boldness is not akin to loudness. Boldness says, I'm going to obey God no matter what. I might feel nervous. I might have feelings of being afraid, but I'm going to obey anyway. Bold. There were some that came after Solomon wrote this in Proverbs 28. And I'm thinking about Elijah. And I'm thinking about when he stood on Mount Carmel, thinking that he was the only one that was being faithful in Israel. And he challenged the 400 prophets of Baal. That was pretty bold. And he said, listen, you prophets of Baal, the God who answers by fire, he is God. You go first. And so they made a sacrifice, and they called on Baal for hours and hours, and they cut themselves, and they bled. Elijah came along and taunted them and said, where is your God? He's not answering by fire. Some translations even say, is your God on the toilet? And he's taunting the 400 prophets of Baal. Can you imagine one man standing against 400 and he's taunting them? That's pretty bold, isn't it? And so then it comes time. He says, okay, now it's my turn. And he says, bring the water pots. And they pour the water on the sacrifice and it goes down on the wood and it runs down on the ground. He said, do it again. And they did it again and the water built up. And he said, do it a third time. And the water was just standing on the ground all around the sacrifice and all around the altar. And then Elijah began to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people
saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them. And Elisha brought the 400 prophets of Baal to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Now, in the Old Testament, they did wrestle against flesh and blood. I just want you to draw the distinction. In the New Testament, we do not. But in the Old Testament, when Elijah slayed the 400 prophets of Baal, he was teaching us how to look at our enemy and take no prisoners. Boldness. Or what about the three Hebrew sons, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Nebuchadnezzar in that day was the ruler of the entire known planet. It was just like Rome. It was just like Pharaoh was under Moses. Can you imagine the boldness that it took when Nebuchadnezzar commanded the three Hebrew children? He had a 90-foot golden statue. And he had made the decree that whenever the music played, that they were to bow down to that statue and worship Nebuchadnezzar. And everybody bowed. Everybody bowed in the whole land, but there were three that refused: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second chance and said, "Look, when the music plays, if you fall down and worship, then good, but if not..." And they didn't need another word. They answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, if you're going to throw us in the furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." That was bold. I don't know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego expected for what happened next to happen. I think that they were thinking, "Hey, today we die. Hey, today's a good day to die if we're dying for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today's a good day to suffer if we're suffering for the King, if we're giving our lives for Him. Today's a good day to sacrifice for the King." Hallelujah. And so Nebuchadnezzar was enraged, filled with fury, commanded them to heat it up 7 times hotter. And the men that threw them in died from the heat. But there came the moment. There came the moment when King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men in the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," said Nebuchadnezzar, "I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Hallelujah. I want to tell you, friends, when you're walking in boldness, you are walking in good company. When you are walking in boldness, you are walking with the King. You are opening up the door to come alongside. Now, Jesus said that there would be moments like this in our lives. And believe it or not, I'm going to wrap this up very quickly here because I believe that God wants to do some things. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 11, "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, Do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. That's to people that are bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And we see this in the life of Jesus. He was dragged before Pontius Pilate. We see this in the life of Paul. He was dragged before leaders. And they, in that moment, were given things by the Holy Spirit to share. They were bold. And you might ask, well, I see that people around the world are suffering and that they need boldness. And I don't know if my life will ever be something like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where I stand before the leaders of the known world. I don't know if I'll be like Elijah. I don't know if I'll have opportunity like David to slay a giant. So why do I need boldness? Why do I need boldness? I want to attempt to make this applicable for you. Because I believe we live in a culture that has changed enough, even in the last 10 years, that for you to stand as a believer in Jesus takes great boldness. I believe that it takes boldness for you to live differently at work than your unchristian coworkers. If your unchristian coworkers hear you talking the same way as everybody else, then you need boldness so that you don't speak the same as everybody else. I believe in this culture, not only in the workplace, but I believe in homes. It takes boldness to raise children. There is so much that children want in this culture that is readily available, but parent, if you don't become the bad guy every once in a while and say no, you will not be loving your children. You just allow them to have everything that the world has, they're going to go the direction the world will go. It takes boldness to be a father that will draw a line in the sand and say, I am not going to go that direction. Joshua, in chapter 24, he was giving his final address to the nation of Israel that he had led in and taken the promised land, and he made this declaration that I hope every father will make in this house. And he says to them, now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, this is feeling more and more relevant in our culture. They think you're evil for having morals. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. The gods that the fathers served on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And so your kids push back and say, I don't want to go to church. Somebody needs to stand up and lead your family. Your kids push back and say, but I like this music in my house. And I know what that's like. And I had to say, but this isn't your house. This is my house. And in my house, we're going to serve God. In my house, we're not going to watch that. In my house, we're not going to listen to that. In my house, we're going to say no to some things, and you might not even agree with it, son. You might not agree with it, daughter. In my house, we live to please God. Now, I'm not perfect, and I know that I make a lot of mistakes, and son, you see a lot of my mistakes, but I am doing my best to serve God, and me and my house, we're all going to do it together. It takes boldness. It takes boldness. It takes courage. It takes guts. We need courage. If we don't have courage, it really doesn't matter what we believe. We're not going to carry it out anyway. If we don't have boldness, we need boldness. And so the writer of the Hebrews said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy." This is Hebrews 4:16. Boldly to the throne of grace. Let me give you some context. Hebrews 4:14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." Verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet was without sin." So let's get the context. We are talking about being tempted. We are talking about temptation. Now, Jesus did it perfectly. He was tempted, but was without sin. When we're tempted, here's the truth. Just like Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. And how are we going to overcome? This is how. We're going to come boldly to the throne of grace. Some of you have addictions that you're trying to break. Well, how am I going to see them break? Well, God's going to do His part. But guess what? We got to do our part. And so you're faced this temptation. And this thing is calling your name. What are you going to do to break the power of addiction? You're going to come boldly to the throne of grace. You're not going to come in and say, "Oh, Lord, I just, you understand, don't you? You understand my need for pornography. You know, you understand my need for substance abuse. You understand, don't you, God?" Well, if you come into your prayer life like that, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. The invitation is to come boldly. "God, these cigarettes that I've been trying to overcome, this addiction I've been trying to overcome, this thing has had a hold on me, but God, I come boldly into the throne of grace, and I thank you that the same Holy Spirit that helped Jesus overcome temptation helps me overcome temptation." Hallelujah. "I come boldly before you, Lord, expecting to receive mercy. God, this addiction is gnawing on me. It's calling my name, but I cut it off in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, God, for setting me free and helping me walk in victory and in power." You think God is going to come and give you mercy? You bet He will. If you're going to overcome the temptations of this life, you need boldness. Boldness. Boldness.
If you have a big need, you need to ask a big request to a big God. And quit being satisfied with the crumbs when God has barbecue pork. Barbecue beef brisket. An apple pie. Oh, Jesus. But you think that because you think that God doesn't think as highly of you as others, that you just get the crumbs. In Ruth chapter 4, and I close with this, I promise this time. Naomi, if you know the story, Ruth was a Moabitess, had come with Naomi from Moab back to Israel, and they were poor and they had lost everything, and all the men in their family had died, and in those days they were in dire straits. But God had put them in the field of Boaz, who was a relative who had the opportunity to be what's called a kinsman redeemer and buy the land of Naomi back and marry Ruth. And in Ruth chapter 4, the moment comes for Ruth to tell Boaz what she wants. And she could have just said, just take care of me and Naomi for the rest of our lives. We haven't had protection. We haven't had provision. Will you just provide for us? She could have asked for that. But in Ruth chapter 4, you'll read this phrase, and it says this. It says, spread your wing over me. Spread your wing over me. And what Ruth, the Moabitess, was asking of Boaz was this. I don't want to just be a servant that collects scraps in your field. I want you to take me home as your bride. I want you to take me home as your bride. How many of you think that that was a bold ask for a Gentile to ask of Boaz? But guess what Boaz did? Read the rest of the story. Boaz redeemed Ruth. He bought her land. He didn't care about the land. He put Naomi in a great position in society. He didn't care about that so much. He wanted Ruth as his bride. Jesus wants to answer your prayer. He wants to answer your prayer. It is already in his heart. And when you boldly come and ask, God begins to work. God begins to minister and move. God, would you impart boldness from the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, Jesus said, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And a little later, the Holy Spirit came upon
Peter. And he stood up and preached with boldness. I think the biggest miracle that day was not that 3,000, that was a big miracle. I like that. But another big miracle was this. Peter, who was so timid that he couldn't even tell a little girl that he was a follower of Christ, stood up with the fire of God and preached the gospel. Is there anybody here today that just in honesty would just say, Lord, I need boldness? If you're here today, and just one at a time, and you're saying, God, I need boldness, just stand where you are. Just stand. And just say, Lord, fill me with boldness to live for you. This is a powerful moment. Make us more like Jesus. Make us more like Jesus. Fill my heart with boldness. Lord, we often pray and say, Lord, make me loving like Christ. And we want to be that. We often pray and we see your gentleness and we say, make me like that. Jesus, I pray that you would fill your people this morning with boldness to go into their week this week in a new place. I am going to live for God. This is why the righteous, when they fall down even seven times, what do? They get back up. And you might have been knocked down by something that you were not bold with, but you get back up. In the name of Jesus, there is mercy for you if you have not been bold. If you have fallen, there is mercy for you, but there is also a new tenacity that God wants to pour into your heart. And so just lift your hands to the Lord right now all over this place. God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would fill your people with boldness. God, as we lift our hands to you and we say, Lord, we need you, I ask in Jesus' name that you would give us power to say yes to you. When we face that friend that we always succumb to and we always get back in the flesh with and get worldly with, I pray in Jesus' name that a holy boldness will rise up inside of us and that we will not bend our knee again in the name of Jesus. God, when that moment comes to share the love of Jesus with somebody and we just feel a little intimidated, I pray that a holy boldness will rise up within us and we will say, I will share, I will speak, I will open my mouth, I will, because God has filled me with boldness. Lord, I ask that you'd give us boldness over addiction. And we have sat miserable for too long, yielding to temptation again. God, I pray for a boldness to rise up in people. I thank you for the broken power of temptation and addiction. Ha, 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 ha. That it is nothing compared to you. Lord, we feel overwhelmed, but you do not feel overwhelmed by it. And you live inside of me. And Jesus overcame, and in his power and in his strength, I can overcome.